Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Oh, yeah. It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my partner,
Rob Parker.
No! It is my man, Jonas Knox.
And my guy.
Parker.
Wow. Hey,
first of all, congratulations on the marriage.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's let me just tell you something. First of all, I'm bummed out because there were a lot of people that I wanted to be able to go. I even asked Rob Parker. I said, "Is Chris still back east?" Because with everything going on, and he said yes. And so I was bummed out not to be able to have certain people at the wedding because we had a big old thing planned, had to change it, cancel venues, all of this stuff. So I was bummed out not having you there and getting to see you. And I miss you. I haven't seen you in months. It's been so long since we've run into each other and talked about what scam Rob Parker's working on at a Ross Dress for Less. So, you know, right. I miss the good old days.
No doubt, man. Definitely miss you and the other guys. Now, are you doing your shows from the studio?
No, I'm actually doing it from home in a garage. It's really hot right now.
And in the garage?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's really hot.
All right. Well, so it's been what, 2-3 weeks? Since you've been married?
Yeah, we're coming up on 2.5 weeks and starting to get a handle on things. Starting to realize that certain decisions just are no longer going to be not really going to be happy with certain things that you do on your own. It's just, you know, I'm starting to figure that whole thing out.
Look, you don't make decisions by yourself anymore.
That's over.
Yeah, those days are gone, but it's great. I've been married for 25, as you know, so anytime you need advice, just ring a brother up.
I will, and you and your wife are good people, and so you will be definitely someone that I reach out to. I will not reach out to Rob Guerra and several others at the network, though, because I feel like the advice I'd get from them would just steer me down into a ditch. So yeah,
I agree wholeheartedly. So on that note, we are the Odd Couple now. It's Chris and Jonas for one day, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes. Could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit Geico.com for a free rate quote. And at the bottom of the hour, we will have Mitch Wild Thing Williams. You may remember him, former All-Star pitcher, now the host of Unleashed with Mitch Williams. And that's a podcast, but Mitch is unleashed on the big story of the day. And we're going to get to that in a moment, but we will talk with him about that, and that story will be coming in a moment, but let me welcome in the Odd Couple crew. We got DJ Alex Teichert, aka Alex the Vegan, aka the Big A, on a Worship Wednesday on the ones and twos. We got Lee DeLapp in studio as the producer. Now Rob G is still working too, but he's doing it from home today, so we kind of got two producers today. And then on the updates is our buddy Steve DeSager. All right, so with all that said, we're going to get to the story of the day, and I can't wait to get into this, Jonas, because I just think it's classic. And Dodgers pitcher Joe Kelly, who's basically a new Dodgers pitcher, right? He wasn't with them 2 years ago when they really had their issues with the Astros and the cheating. But we knew some pitchers were going to throw at the Astros, and he did. He threw one behind Alex Bregman yesterday, and then he basically threw a couple of brush-off pitches to Carlos Correa.
Yeah, Correa.
And so that started a bench-clearing brawl, and Joe Kelly has been suspended for 8 games. Now, remember, it's a 60-game season. That's the equivalent of 22 games. So that's a message. And I have my thoughts on it, but I'm going to let you go first as the guest What do you think about this?
I'm totally okay with the suspension. I think it's ridiculous. I think the Dodger fan base has turned into a batch of crybabies. Get over it. We understand you got screwed over. The Astros cheated. Major League Baseball had an opportunity to settle things and do it the right way. They didn't do it. But now's the time where you got to move on and you got to get over the fact that you lost that World Series. And also, by the way, Joe Kelly, the guy who wasn't part of the team, is out there the one sending messages, because Joe Kelly was a member of the Boston Red Sox, who conveniently are the other team part of the latest cheating scandal against the Dodgers, but he's the guy that Dodger fans are rallying around. I think it's ridiculous. I think this season is not the season to try and set a tone or even scores or right wrongs that have happened in the past, especially not from Joe Kelly. It's a 60-game sprint. Every game counts, and your focus should be on winning a World Series and not trying to exact some measure of revenge because the Astros banged on some trash cans a couple of years ago.
Jonas Knox, about 24 hours ago, I said this to George Reitster, who was filling in for Rob Parker. Jonas, I got beef! What? Get over it.
Get over it.
You said that like it was like a three-game series in July.
Hey.
They may have cost the Los Angeles Dodgers a World Series, their first since 1988. Are you kidding me? And the thing you said that was right, Jonas, is that Major League Baseball dropped the ball. No pun intended. How in the world is Joe Kelly have more of a suspension? I mean, they didn't even get suspended than the Houston Astros. This guy got 8 games for hitting nobody. Remember, he didn't even hit Bregman or Correa. He hit nobody. He gets 8 games, and yet the Houston Astros get to go down in history as World Series champions when we know they cheated. Now, I have ranted and raved at Rob Parker about these crazy unwritten rules in baseball. You know, like it's the only sport where you can just throw at a guy because he did something wrong, right? I get that.
You're not allowed to flip your bat.
Exactly. So I'm with all that childishness and this and that. But when I bring that up, everybody defends it. That's part of the game. That's what we do. It's been, everybody knows, they expect it. That's how we police each other. So now, it's been a bad week for baseball, Jonas.
Yeah.
First of all, you should have been in a bubble. Okay, bubbles, I should say. 3 bubbles, 6 bubbles, whatever. And now, you are suspending a player who hit nobody with the pitch. I don't even know if he was throwing at Correa. Those were curveballs. We know he doesn't have control, Joe Kelly's got bad control. He didn't hit Correa. They were curveballs that brushed him off the plate. He was definitely throwing at Bregman, I think. I mean, come on. There's no doubt about that. But you get 8 games for that? When they cheated and they got nothing? I said it before, and I'm about to be quiet. They should have taken those rings from the Astros. No championship. We didn't have a champion that year. That's all that should have been done. Then we wouldn't even have this mess. Kelly wouldn't have thrown at him. Baseball would have and should have settled it.
I totally agree. I said it at the time. Take back the World Series rings. And the players that refuse to get back those rings, they're not allowed to play another game until they get back those rings. I totally agree. The Astros absolutely cheated. But the bottom line is, nothing that happened last night is going to bring back that World Series. It's not. In fact, you know what would have helped them try and maybe get another World Series? If Joe Kelly, the savior, didn't have a 23-plus ERA in the postseason a year ago. He was a gas can in that series against the Nationals. But Dodger fans who were ripping him to shreds a year ago are now celebrating him like he's their hero. Oh my God, this is the gift of the century. We're in the middle of a pandemic, okay? You've got one team who's got 8 18 positive tests. They're doing everything they can just to try and salvage a season that is going to make them or possibly cost them millions, if not more, dollars if everything is scrapped, if we can't get control of this whole thing. And Joe Kelly's going to taunt a player after he strikes out, stick his tongue out like a child, and then try and incite some sort of a fight when we're trying to do the whole social distancing thing. I think Major League Baseball was absolutely correct in the suspension, and Dodger fans celebrating Joe Kelly, I think they seem to forget all the other opportunities they had to win a World Series. Are you also going to throw at members of the Phillies from back in 2008? What about members of...
They didn't cheat! The Phillies didn't cheat!
But this is all about... They took our World Series from us.
They did! Hold on, you know, Jonas, they have messed with guys' lives. What about poor Clayton Kershaw? And I know, look, he's been bad in the postseason beyond, you know, the series where he was cheated. But still, that guy's legacy, the best pitcher of our generation probably, and all we remember about him is he was a choker in the playoffs. And part of it is because the Houston, likely because the Houston Astros cheated.
Tough balls. Listen, this is just, look, if you find out.
They should have suspended Rob Manfred. All right, that's who they should have suspended.
That's fine. You are suspend, and also I'll say this: we should also suspend Rob Parker because he weaseled out of it. What do you know? Major League Baseball pops up with 18 COVID positive tests.
You're right about
that. And then we got this scam that happened last night in Houston, and Rob Parker's nowhere to be found. He's on Instagram having lunch at a pizza parlor outdoors in New York with a nice looking woman, and he's nowhere to be found to answer for the sport that he shoves down our throats 369 days of the year, better than football, better than the NBA, and yet here we are, and we've got Joe Kelly, who had nothing to do with that team a couple of years ago that got cheated, and he's the guy throwing pitches, and he's the guy trying to buzz towers. I thought it was a joke. 8 games, perfect response from Major League Baseball. Bravo to Major League Baseball. They finally did something right.
Well, I'll give you this. You said the right thing about Rob Parker because I was thinking about that. I've been thinking that all week. Like, how in the world is he not here? But this would be a rough week for him because he defends baseball to the death. And for him to defend the situation with the Marlins or no bubble, and then he would somehow try to defend this, it's been bad for him. But look, Jonas, I hear you. You're making some sound points, but to me, we can't let baseball off the hook. They dropped the ball.
Agreed.
Period. They dropped the ball, and for a guy who, I mean, what do you think about, like, again, they're trying to clean up the game where you're not going to be hitting guys, like, on purpose. I get it, and I kind of applaud it. But how do you, I mean, he didn't hit anybody. And he still gets 8 games.
I think it was the taunting. And I'm telling you, and maybe they can't speak to this, but I think Major League Baseball, that was sending a message that, look, we meant it when we said we can't have confrontations this year. Because if all of a sudden there's a confrontation that leads to a fight, next thing you know, people are trying to break up the fight. If one player tests positive and infects everybody else, now you've got two teams, depending on the delay of the test, now you've got other teams that might be affected if they don't get back the results. I think this was Major League Baseball, not so much because of what Joe Kelly did, but what he possibly could have done, which was cause a brawl in the middle of a pandemic when we've already had major issues with one team. Luckily, no other positive tests have come out of it, but the Marlins are a black eye for the sport right now, and if this would have happened and it would have caused a fight and Joe Kelly was instigating it, they had to set a tone.
It's just misstep after misstep for baseball.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's a former All-Star pitcher, host of the Unleashed with Mitch Williams podcast. Mitch Wild Thing Williams, welcome to the Odd Couple, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are y'all doing?
We're great. It's great to have you on. And you were giving us the proper baseball etiquette for throwing at batters on your Twitter, and we will get to that. But first, how do you feel about the 8-game suspension, which is really like a 22-game suspension over the course of a normal season, that Joe Kelly got?
I think it's ridiculous. I think baseball needs to understand that the only way that they're ever going to get this situation handled is to have the players handle it themselves, because the commissioner did a completely horrible job of handling this situation.
Is Joe Kelly the guy who should be sending that message, or should it be somebody from that team who was the one who got cheated?
Well, he was part of the Boston team that got cheated.
Yeah,
when they played the Astros. So
right.
it's all ties itself in. The bottom line is, if you're cheating so you can know when a fastball's coming, you should, and I said it on my Twitter feed, I think an Astro should get hit every single day of the season this year. And maybe that'll send the message, you don't cheat in this game.
Well, Mitch, it's interesting because so many times you hear people say cheating's a part of baseball, you know, stealing signs, Gaylord Perry, and all that stuff. Where do you kind of draw the line? Because there, it seems like there's some form of cheating that's acceptable, and then there's some that's not. Where do you draw the line?
I draw the line on anything that affects the outcome of the game. And when you start look back on guys like Gaylord Perry, guys that scuffed the baseball or threw the spitball, I've never understood the rule why hitters are allowed to use pine tar to hold on to their bats. But pitchers, if you even touch pine tar to use it to get a little grip on the baseball, that's considered cheating. It doesn't affect the outcome, the way the ball flies, nothing. All it does is allow you to grip the ball like you would be able to grip it in the summertime. Same reason hitters use pine tar on bats. If you took pine tar away from hitters, they wouldn't be able to use those wooden bats.
Mitch, how would you have punished the Astros originally so that we wouldn't have to be dealing with this in the middle of an already shortened season?
The World Series trophy, or as the commissioner put it, a piece of metal, would have been stripped.
Yes, agreed. Agreed.
If I was Aaron Judge, I would have filed some sort of grievance or lawsuit, because he finished second in the MVP race to Altuve, and he should have won it because of the cheating.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mitch. Now, like I said, you gave us baseball etiquette on how to hit batters or throw at batters. Just tell us about it. How do you do it? What did Joe Kelly do wrong?
The whole reason pitchers get caught throwing at hitters is because it takes them 3 and 4 pitches to hit them. It becomes blatantly obvious you're throwing at a guy. If you're a big league pitcher, and trust me, I wasn't noted for my control, but if I had to hit somebody, they were getting hit from the letters on their uniform down. And the way you can tell a pitcher doesn't want to or is scared to hit somebody is the ball will get up around the hitter's head, like on the 3-0 pitch to Bregman last night. That ball had to hit 10 or 15 feet to the right of home plate on that backstop last night. Yep. That's a guy that is afraid to throw at somebody but thinks he's going to send a message by throwing a ball 10 feet over his head. You don't do that around to a baseball player. You don't throw anything up around their head. That could end someone's career. But if you hit somebody in the rib cage, that's just going to leave a nice little bruise that they'll remember.
He's Mitch Wildthing Williams, former All-Star pitcher, host of the Unleashed with Mitch Williams podcast, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox in for Rob Parker along with Chris Broussard. It is the Odd Couple. How long do you think the Astros are going to be dealing with this? Is this going to be just something this season and then we move forward, or is this going to be continuing at certain points throughout the rest of those guys' careers?
I would think the guys that were mainly involved in it that were named, they're probably going to have issues probably the rest of their careers. I think it should be settled this year. You got a shortened season, and yeah, they should look like dartboards by the time the season's over.
Mitch, let me ask you this. How would you respond to playing in empty stadiums? Like, how much different would that make it for you? Would it help you, hurt you, or not really make a difference to you?
Oh, I think it would definitely hurt my performance. I drew so much off the crowd intensity for my adrenaline and all that. And I had to have the hitters amped up, too, in order for me to be successful. You send a hitter to the plate to face me that's relaxed and calm and not looking to try and do anything, they're going to be a whole lot more successful if they're up there amped up and ready to go because of adrenaline.
Mitch, if you were playing, and this was going on during your time as a Major League Baseball pitcher, what would be your biggest concern with coming back to play this shortened season, just as a player?
Probably injury would be my – not that I was injury prone or anything. I only missed 30 days my whole career. But if I – the way they treat these players today, pitchers being on these certain schedules, and I mean, what time am I going to eat my breakfast and all this, and the way they handle that today, you screw up that routine, you take a pitcher or a hitter out of their routine, it makes them uncomfortable, makes them do things they're not used to doing, and it could lead to more injuries.
Last question, Mitch, and this is off what we've been talking about, but you know, it's different. Baseball's different nowadays. You got launch angles and guys swinging for the fences. They don't mind striking out and things like that. You got shifts. Is it easier to pitch today or more, you think more difficult than when you were in the league?
Oh, I wish that they were preaching launch angle back then.
Right.
Because my strikeout totals would have just gone up. Because you go swinging up on my fastball or somebody that knows how to elevate the fastball, go ahead and swing up on that and see how many times you make contact with it. You ain't gonna.
Right.
And it's just a totally incorrect way to teach hitting, especially to young kids, is that launch angle garbage.
All right, that's Mitch Wild Thang Williams. That was great stuff, man. We appreciate it. We'll get you back on. Make sure you check out his Unleashed with Mitch Williams podcast. You can also follow him on Twitter, Mitch99Williams. Mitch, thanks a lot, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good night.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We all saw what happened at the NFL draft, and we were shocked. We thought finally, for the first time since he was with the Packers, that Aaron Rodgers was going to watch his team give him some offensive help, right? As far as an offensive skill position player that they could draft in the first round, namely a receiver. And there were receivers available.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we know they need them. They got Devontae Adams, and then they're looking from there. Now Devin Funchess is even sitting out because of the virus. So they needed some help. They were 13-3, got to the NFC Championship game. So Aaron Rodgers, the great Aaron Rodgers, is thinking, okay, we're going to get a young buck in here, and we're going to be improved for next year and have a shot to make a run at the Super Bowl. And what do? They go ahead and draft quarterback Jordan Love. And Aaron Rodgers seems to be, Jonas, after initially being admittedly upset about it, he medicated with a little tequila by his own admission. And now he seems to be at peace about it. Here's what he told The Ringer.
I think probably the former. I think that's probably what happens, you know, based on, you know, just the circumstances around everything. You know, you look at just look at the facts. You know, they traded up, they drafted him. I would say they like him. They want to play him. Now, I think quarterbacks are playing earlier. It gives some latitude for young coaches and GMs to play their guys. And I get it. I really do. Like, I don't harbor any ill will about it. Like, was I bummed out? Of course. Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't be? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I wanted to play my entire career in Green Bay. I love the city. I grew up there. Really, I was 21. I'm 36 now. You know, a lot changes during that time. But look, I get it. I see it completely clearly, and I'm not bitter about it. It just kind of is what it is.
All right. He admitted he does not expect Jonas to finish his career in Green Bay. What do you make of this?
Well, it's one thing if they drafted a quarterback who was sitting there and they thought, look, similar to what the Packers did in 2005 when they took Aaron Rodgers. At that point in the draft, the best teams in the NFL always go by best player available. They say, who's the best player on the board? Green Bay in 2005 had Aaron Rodgers as their best player available, and they said, that's the guy we want. Green Bay traded up to get Jordan Love. So they got aggressive because they could not resist Jordan Love at that point in the draft at the back end of the first round. I have no issue with Green Bay drafting Jordan Love because I look at it like this. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. And certain teams value certain players a little bit differently. Whether or not this is a big mistake, that's going to play off. That's going to play out down the road. But what I think is going to play out immediately is the Aaron Rodgers you just heard there with Kyle Brandt is Aaron Rodgers saying, look, I know I'm not going to be here forever, and I think it's also Aaron Rodgers less likely to keep quiet if he's not happy with anything that is called on the sidelines at any point during a game last year. And that's where I think it's going to be fascinating because that offense last year was a run-heavy offense. Yep. They took the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands more than any other time in his career. And let's be honest, it's not like Rodgers was great last year. I know Rob Parker loved to hype up how bad Tom Brady was last year, and Tom Thank Brady couldn't you. Do this and he couldn't do that. Man, let's not pretend that Aaron Rodgers was lighting up the NFL.
Thank you.
And we can look at box scores all we want, and we can be lazy and just say, well, what do you mean? Look at the number of interceptions in comparison to this. Watch the games. Aaron yep. Rodgers looked as limited as he's ever looked in the history of his career, and I think you're going to get a motivated Aaron Rodgers, and I also think you're going to get an Aaron Rodgers who realizes, man, I'm out of here soon anyways. I'm not keeping my mouth shut. If I don't like what's going on, I'm going to speak up more so and maybe not be as passive-aggressive as I have been.
You make some good points there. Several I agree with, and I have been teaching Rob Parker about this, but he's hard-headed. You're right. First of all, let's get to the fact that Aaron Rodgers has not looked like Aaron Rodgers in a while.
No.
Right? In a while, okay? And look, I love the fact that he doesn't throw interceptions, but some of that is that he throws it out of bounds a lot.
Yeah.
You know, rather than try to save a play or something. And I get it. That can be smart, but there's also an explanation for his low interception totals. That's what we'll just leave it at that. But he hasn't looked the same. And I think you bring up a great point of, because I looked at it initially, Jonas, when I saw this. And I got, look, first of all, let me give him credit. He's right. He's being honest.
Yep.
I think he's being honest. He's right. You can't fault him for, you know, in some ways you could say this is better than him holding it in, being bitter, maybe not, you know, really treating Love right, you know, like not helping him out in training camp and not giving him the benefit of his wisdom and knowledge and all of that stuff, not mentoring him, if you will. And then there's tension there. And so maybe you could say, okay, you know, he got it out in the open. He knows that he's not finishing his career there. He knows Jordan Love was brought in to replace him eventually. Maybe they just put it out on the table, it's done with, and now they can go play football. That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it, Jonas, is that this could motivate Aaron Rodgers, and you brought that up. Does this motivate him to say, you know what? One, let me go get another Super Bowl for Green Bay so I can prove, I already think he's proven it, but so I can prove to all the naysayers, the ones that are questioning me, that I am the best quarterback in franchise history.
Yeah.
You know, let me win them a Super Bowl. Let me show somebody else, right? Somebody else that I'm worth another huge contract, and I'll show Green Bay. I'll go somewhere else and continue to be an all-pro quarterback. Or I thought you brought up a great point that this could be trouble because now if Matt LaFleur calls something he doesn't like, if they're not throwing the football enough, he might just be like, to heck with it. I'm going to say whatever the heck I want to say.
Damn right.
And you know what type of trouble that could cause in Green Bay.
Look, it's I think at a certain point, and sometimes it's not until after it all happens that you look back and you go, oh, well, there were signs that somebody was pulling away, like that maybe you just, it could be anything, whether maybe less communication with your boss at work, and then you find out, oh, well, this was a long setup, they were trying yep. to get rid of me a long time ago, or it could be a relationship or anything. If you actually go back and look at this, there have been signs and indications that Green Bay was slowly trying to maybe distance himself from Aaron Rodgers yep. having all the control with the organization. His quarterback coach, all of a sudden, he's just gone. And Aaron Rodgers even said publicly, you know, I'm a little bit surprised by that. I thought we could at least keep my guy. I thought we could keep him right. here. And they moved on from it. Then they hire Matt LaFleur. And I have heard from people I trust, Aaron Rodgers had no input in the hire at all whatsoever. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm thinking to myself, huh. That's interesting. Yep. And then there was a report that came out that the general manager said publicly to certain people out loud, Aaron Rodgers not going to be a problem with this one. We're not dealing with that again, meaning don't cause a rift between him and the head coach like he did with Mike McCarthy. So there have been signs throughout. And then the latest, they traded up and drafted a quarterback. And in today's NFL, drafting a quarterback and having him sit for 3 to 4 years doesn't make any sense right. when you can play him at a limited salary and you can go add pieces around him. I think he's gone sooner rather than later, and it's going to be one of the most fascinating storylines to watch, because I thought Green Bay overachieved a year ago. I didn't think they were nearly as good as everyone made them out to be. The narrative that they were one game away from the Super Bowl, you're just one game away. Man, did anybody watch that game against
San
Francisco?
They got wiped out.
They got disintegrated twice. Yep. So they weren't even close to being on the same level as San Francisco. And if a couple of things would have gone the other way, they would have lost several games last year. They were that close. I think this is something to watch. And if things start to go off the rails a little bit, I think we're going to see Aaron Rodgers maybe go rogue. And that'll be fascinating to see how Green Bay and Matt LaFleur deal with it.
Yeah, you're right. And when I first saw his quote, I thought, okay, he's got a foot out of the door. And does it, again, it could lead to him being incredibly motivated mm-hmm. or it could lead to apathy. And maybe not purposefully, but he is a sulker, is he not?
Oh, 100%.
Right? So 100%. So he could, woe is me, look at what they did to me. They didn't give me any more help. They've got their eye on the exit for me, you know, and it could just go south in a hurry because he's not the same. And look, and you brought up, that was a great job of running down all of the things that have led up to his exit.
Yep.
Okay, which seems inevitable at this point. And I'm going to say this. And look, I think you agree with me. I think Rob Parker is the only person on the planet who doesn't think Tom Brady's the GOAT. You know, I think Tom Brady's the GOAT. Okay?
I agree. But how it's even disputed blows my mind.
Right, right. Thank you. But if we're just talking physical ability, right, throwing the football, you can move and all of that stuff, athleticism, it's not even close.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is superior, right?
Yeah, I asked Brady Quinn this one time. I said, who are the guys that just from a quarterback standpoint, because I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I never played quarterback in the NFL that you look at and go, oh, yeah, that's different. And he brought up a couple. He said, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Cam Newton were a couple, but Aaron Rodgers was on that list of guys who makes a throw and you go, the hell is that, man? Like how does that happen?
No question. But and Rob and even a few others give me crap over this. I am big, Jonas, on the intangibles. I think that's what has made Tom Brady the GOAT. I know, of course, he's got to do it physically too, but he's a leader. The guys respect him. He's coachable. You know, he's smart out there.
Yeah.
You know, he can galvanize his guys and get them charged up. You know, he doesn't crack under pressure. And Joe Montana, who Rob thinks is the GOAT, and he's in the discussion. If there's anybody in the discussion with Brady, it would be Joe Montana. Fair. Same thing. Yeah. The intangibles. That's what the things you mentioned. The fact that in his prime, he was still one of the greatest quarterbacks in the league, that they were looking to replace him, and all of the things that came out, to me, it's just more evidence that the reason he doesn't have more Super Bowl rings, and I know we can talk about their defense, and there's truth there. We can talk about them not getting him the best supporting cast. There's truth there. But I don't think he's had the intangibles like the greatest, you know, like a Montana and like a Brady either. Yeah. And I think that's been a problem.
Yeah, and look, it's not like Green Bay hasn't had opportunities. I mean, Aaron Rodgers' numbers in NFC title games are bad. I mean, even the one that he won, look, that game against the Bears, they were on their third-string quarterback. I remember Peanut Tillman, who was a cornerback for the Bears, really good NFL player. When Jay Cutler went down with that knee injury, Peanut Tillman said the guys on the team weren't mad at Jay Cutler. They were mad at Todd Collins, the backup, because he was scared and wanted out of that game. That was Aaron Rodgers, who just barely got by a third stringer in Caleb Haney to get to his Super Bowl. So we can say all we want about, well, you know, he didn't have this and he didn't have that. Okay, but when he did and he was there, he hasn't performed like Tom Brady. And to your point on the intangible stuff, look, who's a better athlete at power forward, Blake Griffin or Tim Duncan?
Blake Griffin.
Of 100%. Yep. Who you taking to start a team?
Yeah, of course, Duncan. Right,
and
that's
it's just it looks different.
Steph
it's
Curry,
not as flashy.
How many guards got more ability than him?
Yes, 100%.
Other than shooting, you know.
So I just wonder, and also the injuries. Aaron Rodgers has been banged up a bunch. He's been banged up a bunch, and we all tried to play the whole, oh, well, clearly it was Mike McCarthy's fault. Okay, well, we're going to find out, because now you get away, you've got a more difficult schedule because you finished in first last year, and now you've got some real stuff going on there that Mike McCarthy's got nothing to do with. We're going to find out what really was the story behind the scenes.